This is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Let's go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, and another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Every Tuesday we do a bonus hour. And we are here this week with family law attorney Adam Sachs to answer your legal questions at 901-3000-TOM. Hello, Adam.
Hey, great to be with you, Tom. What's up?
Not much. What's going on?
I have been working on unconventional outcomes, Tom, let me tell you.
Oh?
Family law, you know, is definitely evolving and changing. And I've had some cases lately that have just been very strange. But guys have to put their seatbelts on and expect almost anything to happen. What's amazing is how there is so much in the system that's programmed based on expectations and things that are, you know, in the past that are still living with us. And, you know, guys are very prejudiced to it as well themselves in terms of expectations of women and so forth. When I talk to a guy on the phone and I tell him, you know, you can get custody of the kids, you know, in other words, he'll have the kids. You know, it's something that doesn't cross their mind. It was just sort of assumed that the mother would have the kids. And there's a lot of laws that changed, and this is something true in California and other states, where the children's desires are now coming into effect much more so, and at younger ages, and it's possible to get their information either directly, where they come into court and talk to the judge, or through therapists and other kinds of social workers who will relay what the children want. And it's becoming much more possible when you look at the irresponsibility of women today, where, you know, dad actually is probably a better choice in terms of having primary custody of kids, for example. You have dad with a house and a job and a nice stable environment, and mom is a fuck up and a slut, and she's all over the place doing crazy stuff, living a crazy life, and it's actually much more appropriate for the kids to be with their father. And when I say it to the father, you know, just talking about the case, and I say to him, you know, maybe we don't need to pay her support. Maybe you should have the kids, you know, primarily. And it just, like, never even occurred to him, you know. It's like the prejudices of expectation, you know, based on, I guess, the past. I guess on, the, you know, the Ozzie and Harriet of the 1950s or whatever, which is, as we know, very much in the past now.
Well, if I hadn't seen The Miracles of Hiring Good Attorneys, I'd probably believe the same thing, because that's mostly what you see, guys getting screwed by the system. Look at that guy in Detroit who is being told, pay your child support or you're going to jail. Now, not only was it proven he's not the father of the kid, he was served with papers informing him of paternity, and he can prove he was in a Michigan State prison when he was served.
Right.
And they're still forcing him to pay or go to jail.
You know, there are crazy anomalies, and there are things that happen between these different situations. You know, Tom, when you actually sit down and talk to a lot of these guys, I'm sorry to say that, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't hire lawyers early on. They missed their court dates. Like you say, the guy was in prison. I mean, it's not exactly a genius, you know. But if you recall some of the things we talked about, you know, when you stay over a girl's house, she could suggest that you're a resident there. So when she fills out the paperwork, she writes her address as your address. And so the papers come, and she throws them away, you know, so you never actually get notice and you miss your hearing. I mean, stupid things like that happen in the law. But there's also, like I said, a lot of expectations where, you know, the woman, it's amazingly arrogant. I mean, they expect to get the kids. They expect to get custody. They expect to get child support. And, you know, I've talked to women that are middle-aged, that have several kids that are already in school and so forth. and they'll say to me, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mother. And I'm like, not anymore, you're not. You know, if you get in a divorce, you're going to have to get a job. And it's something that, like, never even occurred to them. And, you know, even if they get alimony and they get benefits, it's not going to be enough. They're not going to have the lifestyle that they had before. And, you know, they end up having to do something or working or whatever. A lot of these women also think that there are all these, you know, gorgeous millionaires out there who are going to scoop them up and so forth and want to be with them and pay their bills. And that changes for a woman when she has kids and she's older and so forth. You know, this is a tragedy within a tragedy, but the movie 50 Shades of Grey is about to come out on Valentine's Day, Tom. I know you feel about Valentine's Day. Boys have been warned, but,
yes.
You know.
And role-playing. Let's throw that in.
I'll get to that in a second. No, but in all seriousness, you know, the fundamental underpinning of the book was this big sexual fantasy of this woman who's with this dominating man who, like, turns her into his sex slave or whatever. But apparently, if you look at the posters and whatnot and the preview reel for the movie, that's all about this woman who's with this multi-billionaire, you know? They kind of toned down the sex stuff and toned up the private jets and whatnot. So you see that the expectation is still there. And women get this very much surprised later on when they are single mothers and they find that their, let's say, eBay price or their marketability is quite diminished and quite different. And what's, you know, as I said, you have to have your eyes open. I talk to, you know, potential women clients sometimes, and they'll tell me, you know, bitchy woman, you know, I'm not letting him see his kids and I don't give a shit and blah, blah. And I tell them, you know, you're making a big mistake. If you do that, if you give him a hard time, the judge can turn around and change custody to him. And it's fascinating. Like, it never occurred to them for a second, you know. They definitely come into the world with this expectation, you know, that they can do whatever they want and they can act any way they want and that they're never going to have a problem. And it's like, you know, that is really not how it is. It's very shocking for me very often to get into these situations where I tell the guy that I can get him custody and I get him custody and he still can't even believe it, you know. It's so beyond the expectation. And this is a factor in a reality of what's happening in family law because of women, because of liberation, where everything was supposed to be made gender neutral. You know, we've talked about women having to pay alimony now, and that just absolutely blows a woman's mind that she was with this guy that never got his act together, and he's supposed to be a rock star or some kind of a writer or something, and he never really made the big script. And then she ends up having to pay him alimony because she was the one who was making money and working, and the women can't even believe that that's possible. They just can't. So anyway, I want to have a guest on today. Is he on, Tom? Do we have him?
Let me check here and see, because I was there. Yeah, there he is. It's right. Jay,
okay.
Jay is here.
All right, I want to put him on because Jay is very much in this mold that we're talking about here. I think it's going to be a good example for the listeners. So is he there? What do we do?
He's right here right now. Hey, Jay.
Hi. Good to be here.
Jay, on?
I am on.
I was talking about, it's great to have you. Thank you, by the way, for calling. I really am happy to have you on the air because you are, I think, one of my more interesting and unique cases, and I think you're a great example to the boys of a couple of these things that turned around. The first thing that we got to talk about just quick, though, because we could go on the whole hour just about this. You know, Tom, I always say not to hire a woman lawyer. And, Jay, you hired a woman lawyer, and she turned out not to be a lawyer, right?
That's correct.
Did you hear that, Tom?
What?
Jay actually hired a lawyer, and she was representing him, and it turns out she was literally a con artist using someone else's identity and wasn't even a lawyer, in fact.
Holy cow.
Jay, tell us about that.
I went to a law firm. The law firm presented her as their in-house attorney. She went to court with me, appeared, and then at the point that I found out, it was because she faked a heart attack and failed to appear to court on my son's case. Basically, two times in a row, after she pulled it the first time, I got an appearance lawyer lined up just in case she didn't make it again. and then I had to scramble to get another attorney. Turns out she's been doing the same thing since the 90s.
Can you believe that? Is that unbelievable, Tom?
Really?
Yeah, the truth is stranger than fiction.
So let me ask you a question, Adam. What would the California Bar Association think about that law firm?
I think that they would be very shocked, and I think that Jay complained and so forth about it. But, I mean, that shows you how far removed things get and how crazy the world can be. And all I can say, guys, don't use a woman lawyer, please, okay? But we'll get to that later. The second thing that's fascinating for Jay's case is that Jay's ex, was the mother of his son, was very unstable and even got downright abusive with the boy. And the son, who was, you know, kind of a teenager, wanted to live with his father and didn't want to actually have anything to do with his mother. And it shows how our system is so geared. It's like everyone is saying, oh, come on, your mother, what are you doing? Don't you want to be with your mother? And don't you want to live with your mother? And the kid is literally saying, no, I don't. And it's amazing how no one wants to swallow that. But ultimately, we got the kid exclusively with his father, and no visitations to the mother at all. And this just drove her insane. But this is the way it ended up being. Jay, tell us about that.
Basically, went into court expecting to lose custody. I had had him 100% because there was an abuse issue for over a year. And followed the plan that Adam gave me, and it worked flawlessly. Walked out winner, and my son's the better for it.
So, I mean, Tom, the way the things have changed is that the courts are much more inclined to listen to the son. And here...
You mean to the child, or yes, specifically because he's male?
No, boy or girl. There was a whole time where that would have been absolutely out of the question, and the laws have evolved where, you know, they don't want to talk to a three-year-old or whatever, but when the child starts to be a little more mature, and the child, in this case, the son, had a very strong problem with his mother. His mother was really crazy, and he didn't literally, I forget about primarily living with her, he didn't even want to visit with her. And this got her more and more aggressive. In some way, because it's like something that she couldn't have, she got hysterical about it. Where she literally, and I was amazed by this because I was talking obviously with her lawyer, and they were literally saying, I said, you know, you want to force the kid, like you literally want to have the police grab the kid physically and force him into her car and make him have a visit with her. And they were saying, yeah, that's what we want to do. And I mean, that's just crazy. And ultimately the courts are not going to do that. And the son felt so strongly about this, not only to live with his father, but not to have contact with mom, that's actually what we ended up concluding.
And wow.
You see how resistive the system is to that. I mean, Jay, we were like, everyone was like staring at us, right? This was like bizarre.
Yeah, one of a kind situation.
Now, if you had been the woman, right, and you got primary custody, no one would have said a thing.
That would have been what they expected.
Right. You see how difficult it is, Tom, to kind of turn it around, as much as we claim we're all modern thinking or whatever. And in fact, we're now going to go after her for child support because the child is literally 100% of the time with his dad. And again, this is like people don't understand. It's like if you say it to them, they kind of squint. They go, wait a minute, what do you mean? He's with his father all the time? You know, like mother doesn't see him at all, you know? But that's reality. That happens a lot of the times now. If you look at the jails now, women are the fastest growing area of jails is female population. You know, women are developing all the problems that men always had, where women are smokers and getting lung cancer, women are heroin addicts, women are getting into violence. You have violent teenage girls. I mean, you're seeing all the social pathology. So women are not these, you know, sweet little homemakers anymore. And so it's going to fall more and more in the future for men to be responsible parties and say, I want the kids with me. I talk to a lot of guys who tell me that the mother of their kids is crazy, that she's in a mental hospital, that she thinks that she was visited by aliens, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I say, okay, that's horrible. What is your kid doing with that person? And it's like, well, that's the mother. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. Who cares? You know, what difference does it make if it's the mother, if she's dangerous and she's crazy in a harmful potential situation to the kids? And it's something that our hesitation, I think instinctively as men, we're programmed and we're trained and biologically to protect women. We just think that way. And that's something that, that guys have to really be willing to overcome. A lot of times I start doing things in the cases, and the husband who I represent says to me, "You're really upsetting my ex," or "Why you have to go, you know, so hard on my ex?" And it's like, are you kidding? I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot, she would do it to you, believe me. Women collect every dime of child support they can. They go for alimony. Look at these women that are getting $1 million a month in child support and demanding more. Okay, we had a case like that this week in the news. So it's never enough. But it's amazing how guys are hesitant. And, you know, Jay's a great example because he didn't hold back. He was ready to go for it and execute on it. Now, Jay, how's your son doing now? Tell us a little bit about his perspective in all this.
His perspective has been improved. His health's improved. He was actually developing skin rashes from stress out of fear of visiting the mom. Those have all cleared up. He had been exposed to ringworm because he's on a wrestling team. It took almost 2 months for it to heal after the cord. It went away within 3 or 4 days.
Amazing.
He's been excelling school, sports, everything's back to normal.
So his academic performance got better.
Yes.
You see, isn't that amazing? They always will tell the example of, you know, getting the kid away from the abusive situation with the father, you know, and then he's doing better in school. But no one ever would ever talk about the opposite, where you get the kid away from a crazy mother and he's doing better. And that's just as true. Why, I mean, why do we, you know, discriminate in this way? Why do we think of things in this way? Where it's always got to be the man who causes problems and is the violent one, or is the, you know, the alcoholic parent. I mean, I think that, Jay, isn't your ex an alcoholic, as I recall?
Yes, she is.
So here she is as the mother getting drunk and taking it out on the kid. Now, Tom, of all the times you talked about your dad, right, you mentioned even today, coming home, you know, having drunk the whole way home for 2 hours on the LIE or whatever, and coming home and screaming at you and your brothers and sisters. It's always dad doing that, right?
Well, in my case it was, but I know that that's the generalization out there.
Yeah, that's the social expectation.
Right. And look, times have changed since my parents were young. Today, women are getting lung cancer at the same rate as men. They are becoming alcoholics at the same rate as men. They are cheating on their spouses as much as men do or more. So these stereotypes belong to another era. They belong to the Ozzie and Harriet era, but they don't belong to this era.
Well, there you go. So we got living proof of that.
Yeah.
So the bottom line, Jay, we turned your whole case upside down, right?
That's very true.
And you remember, we talked about this when you were doing this, I think, before I got involved and whatever. The judge was sort of hemming and hawing with you, right? I mean, it was kind of like this little game. Oh, come on. You gotta get the kid back with his mother. You gotta get him into, I think they were trying to do some kind of therapy or some kind of like, counseling story, right?
Right.
And it was like this, like, won't take no for an answer, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And as I recall, your son literally, I mean, he was like, I think, what, 13 or 14? He just said, I'm not going.
Yeah, correct.
Wouldn't get in the car. You got to love that,
Tom. I love that. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, if my parents divorced, I wouldn't go with my father. But again, you know, my father was who he was. I will tell you what, though, in today's era, there's no reason why men shouldn't be considered at least equally as the sole custodian, especially boys. I think boys need to be with their fathers. And I think many of the problems we have in society today have to do with the fact there's a lot of boys who don't have their father. And I think that's an issue. You know, the father wants to be involved, he should be involved.
It's amazing. It's amazing that not only for the father to be involved, but to be the leader. That's the key. Why can't the father be the custodial parent? You know, the movies that we grew up on Disney was always, you know, if the father was the custodial parent, one of these, what's this, The Sound of Music or whatever? It's because he was a widower, you know?
Right.
And his wife was
a tragedy. Remember that TV show from the 60s, My Three Sons?
A Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Right. The mother always died.
Right.
It was never that the mother was an alcoholic, the mother was a drug addict,
right.
The mother was insane. It was always because the woman died.
I remember Nanny and the Professor, there was a show like that?
Fortunately, I forgot.
All right, well, anyway, trust me on this. So the point is, he's this hapless widower, and he ends up falling in love with the nanny, or the woman that he gets to help him raise the kid, because he doesn't know how to make a bowl of fucking cereal, okay? You know the thing how men would starve to death if, you know, it wasn't for Carl Jr.? It's like men are supposed to be complete idiots when it comes to caring for their own children.
I'm going to tell you how men are complete idiots. Never turn your maid or your nanny. If Robin Williams were out there, I'd say you should be listening, Robin Williams. Never turn your maid or your nanny into your wife. Because let's face it, a maid or a nanny performs all of the same services a wife is supposed to perform for a lot less money.
There's no doubt about it.
The minute you marry them, the price just went up.
It didn't just go up. It exploded upward.
Right.
It's
and now suddenly your nanny isn't getting some cash under the table. Suddenly your nanny owns the table.
Well, she owns you and the table.
Right.
What amazes me is how we are so programmed that we don't question these things. And that's one of the things that I think is great about the show, Tom, and what we do here is because we're making people think of things like this. You know, it's lovely when you talk to a guy or some of the clients we've had in the past or callers who have said, you know, well, I'm getting married and blah. You go, well, why are you doing that? Are you, you know, why? You're too young to get married. You shouldn't have a girlfriend. You know, it's like the guy never even thought of that. He thought he's supposed to. And society definitely, even today, has a lot of these things drummed into our heads and these expectations that we have and the way that we're taught to think. And, you know, it's really amazing to talk to Jay, where Jay said, hey, my kid wants to be with me. We're doing fine. He's doing better in school. I mean, he's thinking about his mother picking him up on the weekend and he's getting a rash and hives, you know? So, okay, isn't it obvious he shouldn't be seeing his mother, or not, at least not for a while or something? And it's like the courts are going, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We're not supposed to think of that stuff. We're supposed to be gender neutral. But you have to remind them. You have to push it in their face. Because our instincts are so strong, and a lot of the traditional thinking is very, very programmed. And people don't do that and step back and say, wait a second. You know, we had a whole world where the words even betrayed things. You know, there was a fireman or a policeman. And we assumed that if a person was an officer of the law, it had to be a man. So we're supposed to be liberated and say, okay, a woman could be an airline pilot. A woman could be a surgeon. A woman could be anything. Okay, fine. But that goes the other way also. Now, that doesn't mean a man isn't masculine. He couldn't have a masculine career, and I think Jay certainly does. But when you talk about taking care of your own children, we're supposed to be, as men, we're supposed to be stupid. We're supposed to be all thumbs. And if you look at the sitcoms and the other, you know, media, you see the father with the kid, and the kid's crying or whatever, and the mother walks over and takes the kid from him, and she's like, oh, you freaking idiot, you know? You don't know what to do with the baby. You're so stupid. Poor John doesn't know how to feed the baby, you know? But the reality is that none of that's true anymore. It just doesn't work. And we've got to start looking at this as a society. And I've got more guys calling me on the phone, and I say to them, you should take custody. And they go, you're right, I should. That's what I'm going to do. But that's a leap of faith. That's a jump forward. And I think that you're going to find statistically in the future that boys and girls, too, are growing up more confident having the primary parent being the father than having some floozy mother trying to get a date on Saturday night or whatever.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right. Jay, you're still there, right? I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
I think, Jay, you're a little nervous, maybe?
I've been idolizing Tom since I started listening a long time ago.
Oh.
All right. There you got a big fan there, Tom.
Love that. So you were a listener, That's how you found out about Adam, and
exactly.
Things worked out beautifully for you.
They did.
I think that's great. I think that's great. And you got custody of your son, and you probably heard that call I had from that kid, Mike, who called in yesterday.
And, I did.
He didn't even know who his father was. By the way, his mother died, and his father's probably out there somewhere, but he wouldn't know it because his mother died and never told him who his father was.
Isn't that
if
sweet.
She even knew.
Yeah,
isn't that great?
By the way, if she even knew. What a world we have today.
Right? That's what we have now.
Well, for, you know, hey, fathers don't matter, right? I heard women can do it themselves, and they don't need men. It's all bullshit, ha-ha.
Right. Right. Women don't need men until it's time for vaginamony or child support or taking care of the kid while she's out tarting herself up so she can find the next sucker. Then they need men.
I don't
That's
know.
What we're for.
You can turn it on any show, and they show, oh, no, she can do it just fine herself. You go, girl. And get her the daycare center, and everything's going to be just fine. She doesn't need a guy to boss her around, you know? Kids
right.
do better without a father.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a break here. Jay, a great story. I'm proud of you for pulling this off with Adam. Thank you so much for telling it.
I appreciate being on, Tom. Thank you.
Not a problem. All right, there goes Jay, and we're going to come back. We've got calls coming in here. And if you've got questions for family law attorney Adam Sachs, Adam is here to answer your questions. And you just call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. If you have family law questions for Adam, it could be about divorce, alimony, child support, child custody, prenups, postnups. And our favorite, of course, the restraining order, which so many of you loving couples.
Why do you love restraining order so much, Tom?
Because it just shows what bullshit, the whole thing, we're in love, we have a love like no other love, and it's going to end up with the restraining order, and I'm going to take you for everything you're worth. Let's talk about MTL2, who said to me on the phone one day, I'm going to shake you upside down and take everything you have. Oh, that's love, huh?
That's sweet love. You know, what's amazing to me about restraining orders is I think a lot of women file them to, like, get the guy's attention or something, or to make him change, or to get leverage in the relationship. And women have said this to me. I got the restraining order to prove a point to him. And I go, prove a point to him. You're not allowed to go near him, and he's not allowed to go near you anymore. I mean, that relationship is over. Don't you understand?
Right.
And they're like, no. The restraining order protects me. That's to protect him, you know, for his temper. I'm sick of his bullshit. I'm like, yeah, you're sick of his bullshit, all right. You're never going to see him again. You're getting divorced. No, we're not. I can withdraw at any time I want. Like, oh, God.
It's a matter of control.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what marriage is all about.
But what about
it's
consequences?
Exercising control over another person. You know, if you live in your apartment and I live in my apartment and I meet you with a vasectomy and have sex every once in a while when I feel like it, then I don't care if when your high school sweetheart comes by and you give him a good roll in the hay or the high school quarterback that you never closed the deal with. I don't mind because I'm off doing my own thing. Then there's no domestic violence. There's no restraining orders. No money changing hands. I don't see why people can't see how much better it is to not be married.
I think you're underestimating the issue of jealousy for most people, Tom. If you look at how people get into these relationships and relationships of monogamy and marriage, and I talk to men about this all the time, you know, they were with a girl, they were crazy about her, okay, fair enough, she was hot to trot, okay. So they're with her for a couple of weeks or months, and they start thinking that they're going to lose her or she's going to cheat. And so a lot of times the guy is the one who starts saying, you know, let's get married, here's a ring or whatever, because he thinks that this is going to be his solution to the monogamy thing, not so much of him, but of her, of his fear of her cheating. Now, what you're saying, that you're at your place and you're telling the chick, whatever, you're busy, I don't care, you know, I just call somebody else. I mean, that takes a lot of fortitude, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with Adam and your calls at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number, 901-3000. 866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866
shit. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. Probably because that Dino won't stop doing stupid stuff. Dino will now eat 1 tablespoon of cinnamon. I know it sounds stupid and easy, but there it is. It's now in the mouth, and he's attempting to make something of it. Come on, dude. You can... Come on. Come on, dude.
Don't let him pop.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
It can't happen that fast.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Breathe through your nose, dude.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Foco Liz is back with brand new additions to the Foco clothing line at FocoU-FocoMe.com. T-shirts, tops, tanks, and accessories for both guys and chicks, all designed by Liz and made with high-quality material. Grab yourself a classic tee in sizes small to double XL. Or check out the accessories, including wristbands, hats, bags, and more, for you or to give as a gift. It's all Foco, and it's all at the right price. Show your support for an original P1 who has not only supported the show for years, but has fed the content kitty with those gems you'll never forget. Show her some love at FocoU-FocoMe.com today. It's the complete line of everything Foco, but the ceviche, of course, at FocoU-FocoMe.com.
Hammer time!
It's the Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour at 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. We are here with Adam Sachs. And your questions for Adam at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. All right, Adam, I know it's not specifically family law, but I had to ask you about this because the story came out today as we're doing the show live.
Yes.
You know the story. We have our bicyclist friend, Mr. Armstrong.
Oh, God.
And his hit and run, at least his car was involved in the hit and run. I guess now the girlfriend did not, she apparently finally admitted that she was not driving the car.
Yeah. You know, that would have been, you know, very chivalrous at one time. You know, like to throw yourself on the grenade or whatever, you know. I mean, it has to have been throughout history a million instances of women doing something really stupid and the guy taking the blame. I remember seeing this in the movie Tom Sawyer when I was a kid, when Becky was like talking to Tom in class, and the teacher finds out, and they're like, who did that? And he says it was him, and the teacher whips him with a birch, I remember. This blew my mind when I was a kid, that he took that for Becky, you know? So apparently, when it goes the other way, and we have a situation where apparently Lance is drunk out of his mind and drives into two parked cars, and so the girlfriend is saying it was her and it was just a mistake and whatever. Apparently, the cops worked on her and worked on her and worked on her, and she finally changed her story. So, you know, does that make him a sleaze for trying to put it on her? Or was that really something chivalrous that she was doing to protect him? What about that?
Is that ever a good thing to do? Now, you've had clients who have been alleged to have driven drunk. You know, we had a case in L.A., and I don't know if you remember this case. It involved a radio personality.
Oh, really?
No, it was a fellow named Ira Fistel.
Okay.
Who was a late-night talk show host on KABC for many years. And, Dean, have you ever seen the story about Ira Fistel? He had been off the air for a couple of years.
Come on, dude. Please. I just talked about it the other day with somebody. It's one of the best stories of all time.
I know, but if I search for it now on Google, I'm going to get yelled at for typing on the air.
Well, I'm going to tell you the story because I know the story. I know it inside out. Okay, so here's the deal. Ira Fistel had been let go and had not worked on the radio in a couple of years. And he, there were changes in management at KABC, and he got hired back to do a night show on KABC. And he was on his way to KABC to do his show. Now, this is not a drunk driving story, but it's a story about lying to the police. Anyway, the deal was, Ira Fistel.
I seem to have found it.
Okay. So Ira was heading down Venice Boulevard near the intersection of Venice and Hauser. And so he would be going westbound on Venice Boulevard. He was going to turn left on Hauser, or south, and head towards KABC, which is on La Cienega Boulevard. And when he attempted to make that left turn, a car driven by a teenager with his teenage girlfriend was going, if I recall, about 90 miles an hour. And Ira, when he was creeping out of the left turn lane trying to make the turn, this car smashes into him, and the female date is catapulted 100, 150 feet in the air, lands on the sidewalk. She's dead.
That's so now, Jaina Banks.
Right. Now, according to police, Mr. Fistel, who had to get to the radio station, and he apparently, I'm guessing, was afraid of losing his job again, so rather than calling the station and saying, I'm going to be delayed, he calls his wife over at their apartment in Park La Brea and says, can you get down here? And instructs the wife, this is what I recall from the story, and if I'm wrong, someone will correct me, instructs his wife to come down there and tell the police she was driving the car because he had to get out of there to get to KABC to do a show.
Talk about taking your job seriously.
Right. So, you know, get this. All right. You're a 65-year-old Jewish man who hasn't had a job in 2 years, and you go to the radio station, and you're a college professor, and your life has pretty much been this life of getting on the radio and talking about the history of the railroads and doing this boring late-night talk show, whatever. So he goes to KABC. Now, he has just been in a car accident, and a teenager has been killed. And his wife is over there taking the rap while he is on KABC doing a talk show. Now, imagine this. You ever see the movie Crimes and Misdemeanors, the Woody Allen movie?
Oh, that's a classic. That was one of the best ever.
And you know the plot of that movie. Martin Balsam plays a doctor, and he's been having an affair, and the girlfriend is demanding that he leave his wife, and he really doesn't want to leave his wife. So he hires a hitman, played by Jerry Orbach, to kill the woman, and then tries to continue living his life, but he feels terribly guilty.
Right, but it's Martin Landau.
Martin Landau, sorry. Martin Balsam, Landau. Six letters. Right, so anyway, that's what happens. All right, so anyway, so it's just like that movie. Ira Fistel goes to work at KABC, starts doing the show, and I have an air check of it somewhere. The show starts off, the KABC music is playing, and Ira is saying, we're going to have some fun tonight. Meanwhile, This teenager is lying dead on a sidewalk somewhere near Culver City.
Unbelievable.
Okay. So, anyway.
And he kept his focus, and did the whole entire show.
He's doing the show, talking about Broadway musicals or some inane bullshit. And finally, he looks up into the control room, and it is filled with cops.
Oh, my God.
Now, imagine that, okay? I mean, the thing is, all he had to do was stand around and tell the cops, I didn't do anything. I was making a left turn, and this car was going 90 miles an hour, and it clipped me, and the kid went up in the air, and I feel terrible. All he had to do was say that, and he would have been fine. Instead, he had to do the rest of his five-hour show with cops sitting, and the cops sat there and waited for the show to end. They did not make him leave before the end.
Oh my
so he
God.
Had to do the show with cops around him.
Oh, God.
And that was the last time I think we ever heard Ira on the radio, if I do recall correctly. All right?
That was the big finale.
Right. But here's another hit and run where, and maybe we should talk a bit about that, because people get into these situations where, you know, they feel so guilty that something bad happened. You had an accident. Somebody was hurt. Somebody's lying there bleeding, whatever. You have people who, rather than just go to the police and say, all right, here's what happened, they run and hide, or they have their wife come down, or they try to get the girlfriend to say, I was driving, we swapped seats, and he was in the passenger seat. What do you do in a situation like this? Who's right? Who's wrong? What do you do?
Well, the problem is that you end up changing back the story. You know, if the girlfriend with Armstrong, okay, said, you know, I realized he was too drunk and I took over, she has to stick to that story. Now, they do accident recreation, and obviously they had spoken to the valet who gave the keys to Armstrong. But that doesn't mean that they didn't pull over a few minutes later and switch. And the thing is,
but even if they did, doesn't that mean they both drove drunk?
Well, I thought the idea was that he was drunk, but she wasn't, or she was less so. Wasn't she?
We don't really know.
I mean, if it was the two of us, Tom, and I had to choose, I would take, you know, the one of us who didn't drink and say that's the one who was driving, rather than make it be a drunk driving accident, which is obviously much more serious.
Right, but see, they didn't wait around for the cops to arrive.
Well, that's hit and run also. That's not so great either.
But the thing is, my opinion is that the reason they didn't wait around is because they were both drinking. And it turned out that the first guy whose car they hit was a rental car. Now, by the way, if you read this story, and I don't know if you've read it all the way through yet, Adam, but if you read this story, this chick incriminated herself and Lance Armstrong repeatedly.
They always do.
Okay? Repeatedly.
Well, Tom, so, what about the grand rule, shut up, shut up, shut up?
Of course. Hey, let me give you an example. Now, the first car they hit was a rental. And it's Aspen. And it's late at night, and the car is parked in front of somebody's house. So what they did was, this chick gets out of the car, goes to the front door, gets the guy to answer the door, and says her name, and then tells him that Lance Armstrong's in the car and that they'll pay for the damages, don't worry. Then the guy goes to call 911, so they speed off, according to the story.
Nice.
Now, well, how's that going to look to a jury?
That's not.
Also,
by the way, that's not so bad, believe it or not.
Really?
Well, that's not a hit and run exactly. I mean, she went and told the guy, I hit your car. It's like leaving a note, you know?
Right.
I mean,
if the guy calls the police,
well,
and you don't wait around for the police to get there.
Not necessarily.
I
mean, if you hit a car and, you know, there's no one around, I don't know, it's 2 a.m. or something, and you write a note, and you say, I'm so sorry I hit your car, Jane Doe, here's my phone number, you put it on the windshield wiper, you're totally okay.
Wouldn't that have been smarter to do, put a note on the car?
Well, she didn't. She went and rang the doorbell.
And continue to go plow into the next car.
No, she hit, wait a second, leave the next car. She rang the guy's doorbell. She said, I'm so-and-so, I'm with Lance, and I hit your car, I'm so sorry, we're going to make it up to you. Here's our number, and then left. That's not a hit-and-run anymore. That shows that she took responsibility for the accident. If the guy started screaming at her, and he said, well, F you, I'm calling the cops, and she might have been afraid and driven off, that's okay. I think that's a good story.
Now, she also, though, if you read the story, she has told the cops that Lance Armstrong was drinking at this party. And now she's admitted, under further questioning, that he drove the car.
Well, see, that's the changing of the story. Why not just shut up? She should have just shut up. If she just didn't talk and she just left it as it was, then she's meant to be the driver. Now, unless there's video cameras, which sometimes happens, obviously, you know, if they stuck to it, there may not be any evidence to the contrary. And the fact that the valet gave the keys to Lance doesn't mean anything necessarily either. They might have switched. Tom, what's the there was this crazy Yankee coach. He was always fighting with everybody.
Billy Martin?
He got into an accident. Remember, and he died? The car flipped over?
Yes.
And it was
yes.
the same conversation. The person who was with him survived, and he said that Martin was the driver. And they actually did a whole thing based on how he died with a computer model that showed actually that he wasn't the driver, that the guy who lived was the driver and actually was responsible for the death. And I remember seeing this on TV, and they actually recreated with animation the car accident and the car tumbling and how, you know, where in the position of the body and the bones that were broken and so forth. I mean, that can be done when they talk about forensic modeling. But when you talk about Lance with the girlfriend, who the hell knows who was sitting where? Nobody died, right? She swears that she was driving. If she had stuck to that and left it at that, you know, the less you say, the better. The fact that she's talking to the cops and they're questioning her for the third time and the fourth time and she's adjusting aspects of the story, you know, ultimately she is not going to get let off either. She lied to the police originally, and so most likely she's going to be charged with a crime as well as him. You know, it's really an ignorant thing to do. You know, it's really important that people don't recognize to say as little as possible. I don't know what to say about that. You say
right, so
as little
take
as
it,
possible.
Let's take it from the top, and you know me, I'm a proponent of the shut-up philosophy.
No shit.
All right. So, yeah, let's just take two other people, John and Jane Doe. They're out at a party. They're drinking heavily. The valet brings them the car. On the way to their home,
you
they plow into
the
one car and they plow another car.
1 second. It's not exactly the story that I would want to create. The story I want to create, Tom, is that John and Jane are not the same. She wasn't drinking, and he was, okay?
That's the story you want to tell.
Yes, but hold on. Now, John is driving. He's the drunk one. He runs over and kills someone, okay? Or he causes a very serious accident. Right. I'm saying, what if Jane gets into the driver's seat or whatever, however it is, the police arrive, and she says, I was the one driving, okay? Now, John is A-OK, not going to be arrested for drunk driving because he was the passenger. You're allowed to be a drunk passenger.
Right.
And he doesn't remember. He can say, I don't remember anything because I was so drunk. And Jane says, I was driving sober. I had this big accident, but it was a loss of control because we're in Aspen and there's snow everywhere, and I lost control of the car. You know, I was driving at the right speed limit and everything. And so killing that person was an accident, and she doesn't get charged with anything either. That's a different universe than if John was the one driving, and he admits that he was the one driving, and he ends up killing a person. Now it's manslaughter and vehicular manslaughter and drunk driving, and he's looking at going to prison.
Right. And I mention this not because I want people driving drunk. I mention this because if you get into a situation where you're in an accident, you need to know before it happens how you're going to react, whether you're drunk or not, whether you kill someone or not. What are you going to do if that ever happens? What are you going to say?
Just think about the classic things that the criminals say in the movies where they all sit down and say, okay, now we got to get our story straight. Okay? That's what you need.
Yeah.
This guy, Lance, and his girlfriend had about 15 minutes before the cops arrived. Okay? And they should have said to each other, okay, got to get our story straight. I took the keys from the valet, but after a few minutes we pulled over and switched because I was so tired. And you're the one who hit the car. And then we did this. And then you're going to say that. And that's all you're going to say. And then shut the fuck up. I'm going to get the lawyer on the phone.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right. Now, would it be better if both people said absolutely nothing except we're going to talk to our lawyer?
Well, generally, when you're at the scene of a crime or the scene of a big crash and the cops get there, you know, especially if you're innocent, you start to say, you know, I don't know, I was driving and I didn't see this guy come out of nowhere. And, you know, that's about it. And maybe it's good to leave it at that. You know, maybe you don't need to make a whole statement. You could just say...
But you do realize from your many experiences with idiots who can't shut up, I don't think the average person knows where to cut it off.
Right.
And so if I'm giving advice to somebody, unless you think there's something wrong with saying this, I would say, don't say a fucking word. Don't say anything. At all.
It's probably a lot better to leave it nice and ambiguous and say, officer, I think I was in a car accident. You always talk about yourself. You say, I'm really tired, and I can't remember anything right now, and I need my lawyer here. That's how you do it. What happened in this case, most likely, and you don't see this, of course, is that the cops started fucking with her. Okay? They separated the two of them, okay, and they started telling her, you're going to go to jail for 20 years for this piece of shit boyfriend of yours? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to go down the tubes for him? You know, do you know what's going to happen to you in jail? Blah, blah, blah. And gradually they wore down her resistance. That's the key. And cops use psychology on you. They start telling you, you know, you're going to get raped in jail. It's going to be horrible for you. He's a rich guy. He's going to get away with it, and you're going to go down. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to end up being a lesbian to one of the prisoners there. You're going to be her sex slave. And this girl starts going, oh, my God, I don't need this. And so she changes her story. That's the key.
Wow.
If she hadn't gotten into the conversation in the first place, none of this would have happened.
Yeah. And talking and talking and talking. And
that's
talking.
What girls do, Tom.
Oh, my God.
I know you saw Bonnie and Clyde on TV and it looked exciting, but the truth is, if you're going to commit crimes, you're going to have to do it with another guy.
Right. Exactly. So you're not a Thelma and Louise fan?
Yeah, not really. I don't know how Thelma and Louise would have been. I mean, you know, they were never captured, right? They did the suicide thing at the end. But right. I think they would have probably turned on one another rather quickly.
Probably so.
Yeah, and I think that Thelma was going to, you know, turn state's evidence on Louise. That's how it would have gone.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. And, of course, you can always reach us here for free legal advice at 901-3000-TOM. The number is 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big ball lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New
Normal Rock. Let's talk for a moment about Harry's and Harry's.com, our good friends at Harry's. I love talking about Harry's. Why? Because Harry's going to save you $150 this year. That's right. But you got to get started right now. The starter shave kit at Harry's is just $15. That includes the razor, three blades, and your choice of Harry's shave cream or foaming shave gel. And as an added bonus, you can get 20% off your first purchase by using my code LIKAS. That's right. With my code LIKAS, you can get an entire month's worth of shaving supplies for just $12. You know, Harry's.com was started by two guys who are passionate about creating a better shaving experience. And you know, overpaying for drugstore razor blades is a habit you have got to break. You know, Harry's bought a razor factory in Germany that's been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for almost a century. And by cutting out the middleman, Harry's offers an amazing shave at a fraction of the price of drugstore brands. The shipping, always free, and the blades go from their German factory direct to your door at factory direct prices, okay? They guarantee your satisfaction at Harry's, so I want you right now to go to harrys.com, enter my code LEYKIS in the promo box at checkout, and Harry's will give you 20% off your first order. That's right. Enter my code LIKAS and get 20% off your first order. That's harrys.com. Change the way you shave forever.
Cover time.
The Tom Likas Show. Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I love email. You can send me an email at adam@adamlawyer.com. And I do answer my own calls.
Adam Sachs, he comes in here every Tuesday for a bonus hour at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And he's here answering your legal questions. So if you're listening to the podcast or a replay of the show, don't forget, you can call Adam live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zdino.
They don't know shit.
Brought to you apart by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
Don't You Know I'm Local?
Beer Magazine. They said it would happen, and it did. Super Bowl sex buying stings have arrested nearly 600 people in 17 states. 600 people buying the sex.
Man, this is a super sting is what we got
super
going.
Super sting. That hurts. It hurts. That's 570 would-be sex buyers and 23 pimps.
I wonder what it is about a game and then you need to
it's
go
exciting.
Get laid.
It's exciting. It's Super Bowl. You got a boner. You got to take care of it.
Super boner then.
Super boner.
There they go.
Right? It doesn't make any sense.
But they're always fucking, they're always cops.
It's just nuts. It's weird,
they're always cops.
Weird kind of human nature that makes you go, well, I'm going to the big game. Might as well get a blowjob.
I found a Craigslist ad. She seems kind of nice.
Something about deflated balls.
Sure would be nice if you deflated my balls.
Apparently rescued more than 68 victims in the whole thing.
You're a what? Oh, shit. I better call that sex.
Included 16 juveniles and more than 50 women. 50 broad.
Man. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. 23 pimps.
64% of the Johns ended up in handcuffs after answering what they thought were online ads for prostitution.
Yeah, exactly.
On this Backpage.com. They all stupidly went through that.
Oh, man.
7% apparently reacted to fake ads on Craigslist.
Exactly. That's exactly what our friend would be doing.
Dummy. I'm just going to go to Craigslist.
It's pretty trustworthy. I mean, Craig seems to be like a nice guy, I guess.
He wouldn't put his name on it if he wasn't.
I know who to find when it goes awry.
Oh, man. This story out of Bangkok. That's right.
How you going?
What I said. Asia's sex favors business culture under scrutiny. Apparently, if you do business in Asia, it's more than likely that your potential business partners there might hook you up with them prostitutes.
Oh, how are you not doing?
Right.
Good night, Tom. How are you going?
Fairly like average little outing might be, oh, yeah, well, while you're here after the meeting, why don't we head over to the spa there? And then you just got, you know, you bang away on chicks shooting ping pongs out of her twat.
She sure was nice until I realized it was tucking.
Had no idea the vagina could smoke a cigarette.
He just wore his ruse so perfectly, I thought it was a woman.
Apparently, the 50 Shades of Grey sex toys have hit stores like Target. I don't know what the fuck is going on or what's involved in the sex. You know, it's like the handcuffs, the lubricants.
Yeah, fun stuff. Not fun stuff like Bobby from Florida's got going.
No peeking blindfolds, they cause it. Right, exactly. Massage me candle. So you can burn your girlfriend's titties. She'd be all pissed at you for days.
I got one of the dancers.
What did I do wrong?
Christian Grey bears. Yeah, it's got smoldering gray eyes.
It doesn't actually come with the bear, does it?
You can buy the bear, yeah. And it's supposed to break the ice.
Wow.
Well, she was on the A stage. She was a Wednesday night stage, but she's good.
Sad news out of the Bay Area. Apparently, rapper killed in East Oakland on Monday night. 37-year-old Dominic Newton goes by the stage name of the Jacka.
I hope he didn't jacka people out of their cars.
Well, didn't work out for him, whatever happened.
The Jacka has collaborated with many of the famous Bay Area hip-hop stars. E-40, uh-huh. Mr. F-A-B.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like our friend has been wasted along MacArthur Boulevard and 94th Monday night. It turns out that we're waiting to hear from Jaden to find out
Live
the
on the
streets details.
There.
Yeah.
Finally, a big alert for you. It's Jacinta Campbell. Who is that? Jacinta Campbell? She just happens to be former Miss Australia, Jacinta Campbell.
How you going? This is the one that Paul was pictured with.
Yeah,
they went to some movie premiere.
Yeah, this girl.
This is the one.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's as nuts as it gets. And, you know, it's like full-blown summer down there, so they're all just getting naked. Bikinis and all that shit. And Paul's running around with them. He got the Garantino license plate and everything. It's fucking fantastic.
Getting a bit.
Hey. Have you seen my nipple head? Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Super boner.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Shut the fuck up. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. Fucking fuck. Fucking fuck. Fucking 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 fucking